A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, I too will come from the crest of the cedar, from its topmost branches tear off a tender shoot, and plant it on high on a lofty mountain. On the mountain house of Israel I will plant it. It shall put forth branches and bear fruit and become a majestic cedar. Birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs. And of all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree, and make the withered tree bloom. As I, the Lord, have spoken, so will I do. The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we are always courageous, although we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are courageous. and we would rather leave the body and go home to the Lord. Therefore, we aspire to please him, whether we are at home or away. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense according to what he did in the body, whether good or evil. The word of the Lord.
Sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land, and it would sleep and rise, night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It's like a mustard seed that when it is sown in the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? Today, if you listen, I don't think most people ever really listen, but if you listen to the second reading, Paul says, "Yet we are courageous, and we would rather leave the body and go home to the Lord." So, he's saying that he would rather die than live. Now, all of you could say the same thing, correct? You would rather die than live. And yet that's what Paul was saying. And again, I've told you this story before, but years ago when I first met Pete, Monsignor Peterson, we always called him just Pete, that I was a young seminarian and he was speaking at the Sarah Club. And as he was speaking, he started the Sarah Club in Erie. And so he was talking, it was their 25th anniversary. And he says, "You know, there was a lot of people that started this group with me, but they've went beyond us, and they're on the other side." And he goes, "Oh, how I wish I were with them instead of here." And I'm sitting there as a seminarian, young, high school. I'm thinking, this guy's a nut. He'd rather be dead than alive, right? You know, everybody here wants to go to heaven. Is that correct? But nobody here wants to die to get there, correct? Uh-huh. Everybody wants it. That's what we talk about. Heaven's our true home. This world is not our home. Oh, yes, I can't wait. And then he tells us we're going to die. Oh, dear. It's the worst thing ever. It's not. We were not created for here. We were created for heaven. Now, again, though he wanted to die, he lived another 40 years, just so you know. God doesn't give us what we want all the time. Isn't that good? And greatly for the rest of us. And then again, I was up with, I used to be very close to all the Carmelites here. We don't have them here anymore. But I had my first mass there. And Sister Christine, great nun. When I was in high school seminary, she was the extern. I would spend a lot of time with her and have many conversations with her through the screen because that was the way you talked to them. And then after a while, Sister wasn't feeling well and she went to the doctor. And the doctor did all the tests and everything and says, oh, Sister, you have very advanced cancer. You might have a month or two to live. And Sister started to smile. And the doctor said, Sister, I don't think you understand. You're going to die. And she says, oh, Doctor, I don't think you understand. Either way, I win. If I die, I'm with Jesus. If I live, I'm with Jesus. Either way, I'm with Jesus. Is that the way we live? Is that the way? Again, St. Francis of Assisi was out hoeing his garden, and as he was hoeing his garden, someone came up to him and says, what if, Francis, someone told you only had an hour to live, what would you do? He said, keep hoeing my garden, because he was in the divine will of God. And that's why Paul says here, immediately after he says, I'd rather die, but then he says, therefore we aspire to please him. That's my goal. And so for us, we got to realize, first of all, that this world truly isn't our home. We weren't created here, for here God did not promise us everything here. Our Lady says, I can't promise you happiness on earth. Jesus says, in the world you will suffer. Are there any questions? Life is hard. We have great moments, and I think that we should not be waiting to die before we die. We should be waiting to die when we die, not be dying every day. There are some people that live every day, I'm going to die. I was just watching, I don't know if you saw it, on one of the TV shows, they went to this place in Italy, I think, or Malta, and they have all these monks that are dead, and you can walk down through the crypt, and they're all put on the wall, and they're all in their habits or whatever, and it says, it's to remind you to always think about death. That's the first thing they do in the Knights of Columbus. Those of you who are knights, a lot of you are not. But I'll tell you, you're not supposed to, but I'll tell you anyway. At the first thing, they go in and there's that thing in Latin, it says, remember death. And then the next day they try to sell you life insurance. But that's all beside the point. Remember death. And so we're called to be sitting there remembering death all the days of our life. Absolutely. But don't stop living while you're here. You know, again, some people died many years before they die. Stop that. God will take you when he's ready for you. While you're here, you live. You live for him. You live for his glory. You have one desire to do his holy will so that you're not afraid of dying. That's got to be the point. So how do we get to there? How do we get to the place where I'm not afraid of dying? How do I get there that I have a life of peace? Well, first of all, we need to truly enter into this intimacy with Jesus. Paul knew Jesus' intimacy, intimately. He said, I no longer live, Galatians 2:20. Jesus lives in me. So the first thing you got to do is make sure that we have this intimacy with Jesus, that I no longer live. Jesus lives inside of me. That means you've already given up your life, but now he gives you true life. But that doesn't happen by going through the motions. It doesn't happen by going to church. It doesn't happen by just sitting here obeying the commandments. It doesn't happen by just following all the rules. It happens when you and I have completely surrendered ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. that I don't live to do what I want to do. That's not what Paul says. He says, I aspire to please him. That means that every day you and I are awake, it should be for one reason, to do his holy will, to please God. That's how we please God, by doing his will. We put other people in front of us. Every day should be a death where I put other people's needs and wants and desires, not once always, but put them before me, that I'm here to serve. And so whatever it is, when I pray, I got to make sure, like today, when you and I, at say in the middle of Mass, your will be done, will you then quiet your heart long enough so God can tell you his will? Or will you hurry through that because you want to do your own? How many of us here come every week and want our will to be done? How many of us are watching, wants our will to be done, wants God to bless it, God, give me what I want? But that's not the God of the universe. Like I said to the people of Extraordinary Ministers at the class, I says, I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to lead you in God's will. You mightn't agree with me, but you still got to do God's holy will, period. If it comes to your will and God's will, who wins? God. And that's a very practical thing day in, day out. So if we have fully surrendered and I no longer live, but Jesus lives in me, and I have one purpose in my life, every day to do God's holy will, I don't have to be afraid of dying. So those are the two things. You got to do something. You just can't sit there and show up and say, well, I'm still afraid. Okay, I'm telling you what you got to do. You got to fully surrender yourself to the Lordship of Jesus. He's Lord of every part of your life. As I said in my podcast this week, I should send it out because that's really what it is. What does it mean to be a practicing Catholic? And I says, to be a practicing Catholic means that, of course, you go to church. Of course, you do those things. Of course, you obey all the church commandments. Of course, you obey God's. But that's not enough. You can do that and be a Pharisee. You can do that and be an atheist. And you can tell because you don't have peace. You might be angry and judgmental and think you know better than anybody else, but that isn't of God. When a person is a practicing Catholic, it means that they have completely died to themselves and now God lives inside of them. And there's no part of their life which is not under his lordship. Our money's under his lordship, our body's under his lordship, our sexuality's under his lordship, everything, our judgment, whatever we do, it's what God wants me to do. Until we get there, we're not truly practicing Catholics. We might go through the motions. We might never miss Mass. But you can say, I would never miss Mass, but still hate people and be judgmental of others and still have it your way. That's not what God wants of us. And then when we fully surrendered and say, I have one purpose, Jesus, to do your holy will today, then we'll have peace. And then we won't be afraid of dying. But those are the two things you must do. So, it's your decision. You get to decide to do it or just keep doing what you've been doing. But let's together continue in our growth and say, Lord, I want you to have full part of complete control of everything in my life, everything, holding nothing back. And I exist today to please you. And then, like St. Paul, like Sister Christine, like Father Pete, you'll gladly want to be with him, and you won't be afraid. You got it? Get it? Gonna do it? May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.